The Allied Pilots Association won't be representing American Airlines pensioners. A medical helicopter is down in Florida. And another Soyuz launch vehicle has failed. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 27th, 2011. Pilots who retired from American Airlines just before it declared bankruptcy last month will not be represented by the Allied Pilots Association in court proceedings. ANN has received a copy of a letter sent to retirees on December 22nd, informing them of the union's decision. As ANN reported, 67 pilots who retired in November have become creditors to the airline and will have to get in line in bankruptcy court with other creditors to receive all or some portion of the payments they were promised. Our source says that one of the reasons AMR filed November 29th was to preempt any mass exodus in December. In the APA's letter to the unfortunate 67, Union President Captain David Bates writes in part, quote, "Due to the nature of bankruptcy reorganization, various groups under the AMR umbrella have divergent interests, and they retain counsel and financial advisors to protect their unique positions. APA has decided to follow the same course ALPA charted in the prior recent airline bankruptcies and will not represent retired pilots. However, we anticipate cooperating to the extent that we can with the committee's professional advisors." Unquote. A Bell 206 medical helicopter with three people on board went down in Florida Monday during a flight to retrieve a donated heart for a transplant. The San Francisco Chronicle reports the occupants were Dr. Luis Bonilla, a heart surgeon, procurement technician David Hines, and the pilot, whose name had not been released as of our deadline this morning. There were no survivors. According to FAA records, the helicopter is owned by SK Jets in St. Augustine, Florida. The aircraft reportedly left the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville at 5:45 a.m. and was reported missing when it didn't arrive as expected in Gainesville, about 60 miles to the south. The crash site is about 12 miles northeast of Palatka, Florida. There's no word yet on what might have gone wrong. NTSB will investigate. The donated heart could not be used for anyone else due to the delay. The Russians, who recently said they might try to block commercially developed spacecraft from docking with the International Space Station until their safety was proven, has now had two failed Soyuz missions within a five-month period. Friday's launch from Russia's Plesetsk spaceport was supposed to take a Meridian 5 satellite into orbit. Instead, an anomaly was reported in the third stage engine about 7 minutes into the flight, and what was left of the satellite was scattered as debris over western Siberia. A spokesman for Roscosmos would say only that there had been a failure, and a state commission will investigate. The rocket used Friday has engines different from those used for the last failed mission in August. Russia's failed Phobos-Grunt Mars probe, which was left stranded in an unstable Earth orbit by another failed launch vehicle, is expected to burn up harmlessly during an uncontrolled re-entry into the atmosphere in about 2 weeks. Iran's Minister of Transportation says his government is considering buying new civil aircraft from Russia. Iran's Press TV quotes Transportation Minister Ali Nikzad as stating Monday that a deal will be finalized when Iran's Civil Aviation Organization approves Russian planes. Quote, "We should see if the aircraft are suitable for Iran's geographic and climatic conditions and whether their price is reasonable. If we reach a final agreement, we will buy some." Unquote. The news comes just after Russia was named in a recent study by the British consulting firm Ascend as the most dangerous country in the world to fly on a commercial airliner, ranking below even developing nations such as Indonesia and the Congo. Russian regulators say part of the blame lies with domestically produced airliners. But in Iran, Nikzad does not sound worried. He's quoted by Press TV as commenting that any type of plane will wear out after a while in service and will be phased out. Quote, "For example, Tupolevs were very good for a certain period of time, but were later phased out and replaced by newer aircraft." Unquote. The only specifics of the Iranian civil fleet expansion came on December 18th, when the government said it wanted to add 25 fuel-efficient passenger planes. Still ahead, the EU can expect more lawsuits over its new carbon tax. Southwest and AirTran mechanics consider a seniority agreement. And NORAD Santa trackers had a record year. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 27th. I'm Paul Plank. As the countdown continues to the January 1st start of the European Union's new unilateral carbon tax on airlines, China has announced it will go forward with a suit against the plan, notwithstanding a recent defeat in European courts of a similar challenge brought by the U.S. In a related action, China Daily reports that four state-run airlines in China will file their own combined lawsuit in Germany before the end of this week. The Economic Observer says the airlines were directed to act with a unified voice by the General Administration of Civil Aviation of China. Reason.org's Ron Bailey notes that the Swiss bank UBS issued a report in November which found that implementing Europe's carbon market, which was done as part of the Kyoto Treaty, has resulted in almost no low-carbon innovations in energy production, but has imposed about $280 billion in additional costs on European consumers. India is one of almost two dozen nations gearing up for a fight with Europe over the imminent launch of the unilateral carbon licensing system, and warns that the action by Europe could lead to international retaliation. Official sources now say India will decide on a formal policy sometime in February, according to a report in the Economic Times of India. The Indian government estimates the new taxes imposed by the EU will cost India's airlines an additional 4 billion rupees per year. That's equivalent to about $75 million U.S., and could rise further as Indian carriers expand service in the future. AMFA, the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association, which represents mechanics at Southwest Airlines, and the Teamsters, representing mechanics at AirTran, say they've reached agreement on a seniority integration plan and have voted to present it to their respective rank and file for a ratification vote. Southwest Airlines Executive VP and COO Mike Van de Ven says, quote, "The momentum of the integration of our two great airlines is starting to build. I want to commend all parties involved in this critical integration process. Everyone involved took ownership of their roles, and I want to congratulate our teams for delivering what we feel is a fair and equitable deal for both sides," unquote. If the union proposal is accepted by both sides, it will also create a single labor agreement. And finally today, the NORAD Track Santa program receives millions of unique visitors from hundreds of countries and territories around the world. A live operations center is occupied for 25 hours each Christmas with more than 1,200 volunteers who receive hundreds of thousands of phone calls and emails from families around the world. The Associated Press reports that the 2011 effort not only set another record, but blew last year out of the water. Facebook likes rose from 716,000 last year to 999,000 this year. Twitter followers jumped even more, from 53,000 to 89,000. And old-fashioned telephone traffic jumped from a previous high of 80,000 to 102,000 calls. For the second year in a row, First Lady Michelle Obama was among the volunteers staffing the phones. Lieutenant Commander Bill Lewis told the AP the kids were not at all intimidated to have the First Lady on the other end of the phone. Quote, "They all just asked run-of-the-mill stuff. They wanted to know about Santa," unquote. You know, to be fair, if you're 6 years old, Santa is a much bigger deal than the First Lady is. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.